Well, it is a good day. Amen. It is the feast of Christ the King. So, in terms of the church year, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Oh, come on. Happy New Year, people. Thank you. Thank you. It is the church's New Year's Eve. We are right there at the edge. Next Sunday is Advent. Everything changes. Everything's different. So this is, in effect, our New Year's Eve party. We'll have funny hats and noisemakers and all sorts of bottles of champagne. Well, not really. We do have wine. It's just not champagne. Never mind that. So, but this is our New Year's Eve party. So we have lots of surprises and lots of gifts and all sorts of fun things. But that will come later. The celebration today is about Christ as Christ the King. You know, we sort of keep this on the back burner at all times. We sort of acknowledge that God is the creator of all things and that Jesus, when he overcame sin and death, he went back to the right hand of God. He came back from the dead. He was with the disciples and the apostles on the earth for another 40 days, and then he ascended back up to heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father. And later on, he'll come back and he'll judge all the world. And he can do that because he's seated right there at the right hand of God, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all that. And we acknowledge that sort of back burner of our mindset, but we very rarely take the time to go, hey, you know what? He is in charge of all things. But it's a truth, and it's an important truth, and we need to acknowledge it. We need to acknowledge things like what God says in Ephesians. No, let's not go to Ephesians. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. He is so highly exalted that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow to him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Not only here, eventually, but those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Not just here, but everywhere. You know, in the creeds we talk about visible and invisible. Right? Those that we see and those that we don't. Everything will confess that he is God. Including the angels and the demons. Amen. And eventually they're going to bend the knee too. And when they do, they're not going to like it very much. We could also go now to Ephesians chapter 1, where it says that God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So God put all things under his feet. That's not just, hey, okay, candles and crosses and pretty brass cups and fancy cruets. Those are under Jesus, but your transmission, Jesus got nothing to say about that. You got to go to a mechanic for that. Okay? No. God put all things under his feet. All things. And gave Jesus to be head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells all in all. God was given authority. Jesus was given authority over all, and then he was put over the charge of the church. We had a reading from Hebrews today. And I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the second chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to talk about Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Zipping around with a lot of scriptures today. If you miss them, you can go back and listen to the recording. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. God didn't give the world over to be subject to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For he put in subjection under him." He put all in subjection under him. "He left nothing that is not under him." That's God. God put all things in subjection under him. There is nothing that's not in subjection under him. At one hand, that's like a really tremendously powerful and incredibly empowering and emboldening statement. God controls all things. Jesus is the Lord of all things. All this craziness that's going on in the world is that which he allows to happen. And then that sort of gives everybody pause. He's letting all this happen? That gives everyone pause and makes everyone think, why in the world is he letting that happen? And that's a discussion for a different date. "But now we do not yet see all things put under him." Well, that's true. "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, suffer of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." So Jesus, who was above and is above all things, and for whom all things were put in subjection under him, reigns above all things, and for a time was made lower than those things so that we could overcome them. Now, Jesus reigns over all. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and he has authority over all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not terribly feeling all that incredibly victorious as of late. You may notice that I am at church stagged today because I have a house full of sick children. I know that there are others of you who have been dealing with what the German like to refer to as Stuff. It's a fancy German word. Look it up. There has been a great deal of Stuff going around these days. This was very apparent when we attended the Clericus a few weeks ago. The Clericus is the annual gathering where all of the clergy in the diocese go down to the Bishop's Cathedral in Miramar for our once-a-year convocation where we gather together for fellowship, for teaching, and for a business meeting, essentially. And the bishop hosts us at his house for a big fellowship dinner. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. And there was an entire table that was empty because there were people who were attacked at the last minute. You know, Father Lon wasn't able to come because Drew had pneumonia. But there was another priest who had been attacked with back problems. Another priest had a pacemaker put in. There was another priest whose wife had tripped and twisted her ankle. And there was another one who had this issue, and another one had this issue. And all in all, it came to an entire table that was empty. And it was like this big sore in the room, that, like, we're under attack. And when we started thinking about it, it goes for our congregation as well. whether it's this person or that person. And I don't need to go off and start naming the things that are besetting us because you know them. You know what's going on in your lives and the lives of your friends. You know how over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, 8 months, years, you've been under attack. Whether it's been financial, whether it's been through your job, whether it's been emotionally, whether it's been anxiety, whether it's been your health, you've been under attack. So let's talk about some other things. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Normally I use the New King James Version, but I'm going out of the English Standard Version because I really like the wording of this passage. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. If you're having trouble with this aspect of your life, if this aspect of your life, if this aspect of your life, maybe you have a spiritual problem. Now, maybe you have a problem with bad decision making and need to evaluate some choices that you've made, but maybe you have a spiritual problem. Maybe you need to get some things back in subjection under the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And maybe we need to look at 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing down every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the subjection of our Lord. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We're not going to be victorious by throwing money at things, by throwing antibiotics at things, by throwing arguments at people. We are going to be successful. We are going to be blessed by spiritually thriving, by putting things in subjection under Christ. Now, I want to introduce you to a new term. I know that you know that we are a sacramental church. Sacramental being an adjective that means having the sacraments. But I want to teach you the word sacramental as a noun, as in this thing is a sacramental. I know we always use it as an adjective, but it can be used as a noun. For example, when you have a little, it's called a stoop, right by the entrance to a church, and it holds little water, and people walk in and they dip their finger in and make the sign of the cross, that is called a sacramental. Okay? It is not a sacrament. It is a sacramental. It's kind of like a mini sacrament, not quite a sacrament. A sacramental is an outward and visible sign of the presence of the kingdom of God. Okay? It is not necessarily a means of conveying grace, but it's a symbol of the presence of God. Okay? So, for example, incense, candles, those are all sacramentals. Those are a sign of the presence of the kingdom of God. Okay? Why? Because they remind us of things. The incense reminds us of the prayers of the people. That's why it's there. You go to Revelation, you see that the incense is the prayers of the people rising up before the throne. Incense rises up. That's why we do incense. When in churches that have them, that holy water reminds you of your baptismal vows. It reminds you that we're called to go off and baptize people as you go into a church, as you go out of a church. Okay? And if we look at Luke chapter 9, at the very beginning, it says, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So, what's the kingdom of God? It's to heal diseases, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. That's what the kingdom of God is. So those sacramentals ought to be reminding us of things like that. Now, one of the lessons that I have learned about preaching from Father Ed is that you always give the people a takeaway. Okay? You're always supposed to give them something to do, something to think about when they go home. You can't just tell them something and then leave. You have to give them a takeaway. Well, today you're going to give you a takeaway. And that takeaway is going to be something that you can literally take away. Because there is another sacramental that the priests have used for many years that is actually quite all right for the lay people to use as well, but we just never given it to you. And that's going to change today. Because a very common sacramental in other churches that we've just never made available is holy water. See, holy water is a sacramental. It is an outward and visible sign of the presence of the kingdom of God. It is used for both the health of believers and for driving out unclean spirits, for casting out demons. Now, some of you will think, this is just silly little superstitious stuff. And, well, you're wrong. Now, it may be that it's unnecessary that what you would do with holy water, you could do just with sheer faith and casting out demons in the name of Jesus and healing people in the name of Jesus, and that may be true. But I've been at exorcisms, and not like, you know, hey, this person's got some stuff and we need to talk out some of their issues, like creepy little, let's make a movie about this stuff, exorcisms, everything short of pea soup getting splattered on the walls. Holy water has some impact, like smoking skin, like screaming in pain when it hits. It makes a difference. I had a brass pitcher that was like this big that I emptied on someone. And I turned to another priest and I said, can you make some more water? Or I said, do you have some more water? And he said, no. I said, can you go get some more? It was like that scene in Jaws where the guy looks at the captain and says, I think we need a bigger boat. But I've also used it in less dramatic contexts. I've gone through my classrooms before school got started. I've hit every one of those little desks. Not calling those children demons, but, you know, if the shoe fits. It was a very good year, by the way. It was a year that I had students come to me for counsel. It was a year that I had breakthroughs with students that I never had before. It was a good year. I've gone through my house after young adults meetings because there were students who'd come in there that didn't come in alone, if you understand what I'm saying. They walked out. We closed the door. Liz started to say, "Hey, honey, I think you should." I was already grabbing the bottle. Now, me personally, I'll make a big bottle of holy water, and then I've got a cleaned out bottle of hot sauce where it's got that nice little cap that makes it really easy to sprinkle. It's not quite that good for you today, but what we have, what we're going to do is we're going to make available bottles of holy water for everyone today. But we're just not going to give it to you. We're going to bless it here in front of you today so that you can hear the prayers, because the prayers are prayers of authority. They're prayers of healing. They're prayers of casting out. And we want you to realize that on Christ the King, this is a prayer of authority. This is a prayer of healing. So would Father Juan and Father Ed go ahead and remove our nice little shroud and start uncapping these bottles. So, yeah, there we go. The veil is removed. So the big bottles in the middle are for us because we got a lot of work. But so what we're going to do here in a minute is we're going to start going through and blessing these. And what happens is the first thing we do is you're not going to be able to see it because it's behind the big gallon jugs, but there's two containers of salt. And the first thing that you do is you exercise and bless the salt. And then you exercise and bless the water. And then you mingle them together and pray over them. And then you mix them together and pray over them. And then we're going to give them out for everybody. And we're going to take some of this water and we're going to pour it, or not pour it, we're going to sprinkle over the congregation. Because you have had stuff that's been holding you back for weeks, months, maybe years. And it's time that comes to an end. Because you know what? Next week is Advent. And Advent's going to be different this year. Advent has always been very penitential and focused for us. And this time, our focus is going to be preparation. Our preparation to celebrate the coming of the Lord. We're going to think about his first coming and his second coming. We're going to do that by two ways. We're going to be doing that thinking about reaching out and reflecting in. And that's going to be our focus for Advent. We're going to be reaching out to others, reflecting in, and making ourselves right so we can do that. And as we get ready for this, we need to make sure that we're in a place that we can testify to others of the goodness and glory of the Father. So as we get ready for this, we need to make sure that our lives are in subjection. And so we need to cast out these things that are holding us back and put all things in subjection under our Lord. So let's get started with this. Sure.
Sometimes it's not necessarily for anything that we've done wrong that we attract attention, but for what we're doing right or what is about to happen.
Absolutely.
And as we go in different directions and perhaps deeper and higher, however you want to phrase that, in the Lord and in the things that he's called us to do, we attract more unholy attention. And I
yes.
believe that's what has happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that we are moving forward and pressing on draws more attack. If you know anything about military, irrelevant targets don't get attacked. Nobody bothers with targets that are unimportant. I need them here so I can pour salt on them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's going to be one word here that I'm going to use that I probably need to explain. That word is adjure. Adjure means to command by an oath. I adjure you, O creature of salt, by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, by God who commanded you to be cast by the prophet Elijah into the water to heal the barrenness thereof, that you become salt exercised for the health of believers, and that you bring all who take of you soundness of soul and body, and let all vain imaginations, wickedness, and subtlety of the wiles of the devil, and every unclean spirit fly and depart from every place where you shall be sprinkled, adjured by the name of him who shall come to judge both the quick and the dead and the world by fire. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we humbly beseech you of your great and boundless mercy, that it may please you of your loving kindness to bless and hallow this creature of salt, which you have given for the use of men. Let it be to all them that take of it health of mind and body, and let whatever shall be touched or sprinkled with be free from all uncleanness and from all the assaults of spiritual wickedness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I adjure thee, O creature of water, by the name of God the Father Almighty, by the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, his our Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you become water exercised for the putting to flight all the power of the enemy, and do avail to cast out and send forth that same enemy with all his apostate angels, by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come to judge both the quick and the dead and the world by fire. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who for the salvation of the world has ordained that the substance of water should be used in one of your foremost sacraments, favorably regard us who call upon you, and pour out the power of your benediction upon this element, made ready by careful cleansing, that this creature fit for your mysteries may receive the effect of divine grace, and so cast out devils and put sickness to flight, that whatever in the dwelling of your faithful people may be sprinkled with this water may be free from all uncleanness and receive all and delivered from all manner of hurt. There let no spirit of pestilence abide, nor let any corrupting air. From there make all the wiles of the hidden enemy depart. And if there be anything that lay snares against the safety or peace that dwell in this house, let it fly before the sprinkling of this water, so that the health which they seek through calling upon your holy name may be protected against all things that threaten it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be this water and salt mixed together, mingled together, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O God, the author of unconquered might, the king of the empire that cannot be overthrown, the ever-glorious conqueror, who keeps under the strength of your dominion those that are against you, who rules the raging of the fierce enemy, who fights mightily against the wickedness of your foes. With fear and trembling we entreat you, O Lord, and we beseech you graciously to behold this creature of salt and water. Mercifully shine upon it and hallow it with the dew of your loving kindness, that wherever it may be sprinkled with the invocation of your holy name, all haunting of unclean spirits may be driven away. Far from there let the fear of the venomous serpent be cast, and wherever it shall be sprinkled, there let the presence of your Holy Spirit be guaranteed to all of us who shall ask for your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.